Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like that. You thought about getting your own fucking house.
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this Football Ramble special. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's here.
I don't want to be here.
What a treat. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, you're thinking to yourself, what are they doing here? Why does Pete not want to be here? Mm. That will all become clear in just a moment. Now, during the 12 Rambles of Christmas that we recorded in the build-up to Christmas, and we did record them, they weren't re-releases of other shows, you fools.
Yeah.
They were all specials, and we had a lovely old time. We asked you to submit your suggestions for an outstanding or an important or a memorable thing that has happened in the world of football since the Football Ramble began all those years ago. Now, the person with the winning suggestion would win a TV, and we'd also record a special around their chosen subject. That's why we're here. And the reason why Pete doesn't want to be here is because Matt Baker won the competition for suggesting we discuss Mike Ashley's Newcastle United.
Mm. There we go.
Yeah, as Matt put it himself, my entry has to be none other than the plight of Newcastle United since 2007. He did pick out a favourite moment, which was Cisse's goal against Chelsea in 2012. Pete, I believe you were at the game. That is probably the only little sprinkling of sunshine that...
Well, no, because we won't be mentioning that.
Yeah, that's done.
Because, as I said on the Ramble a few weeks ago, I was in with the home crowd, so I couldn't actually celebrate the best goal I've ever seen in my life.
Even that was taken away from you. Tainted.
Wonderful. Oh, dear. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is the Football Ramble special, the extra, if you like, to the 12 Rambles of Christmas. Mm. Mike Ashley's Newcastle United.
Let's dive in like we're some like we're some vomit in a fireplace.
Can I just start off with a couple of quotes, Pete?
Might I just say that I've essentially said to Luke and Jim, here's the pick and mix, one of the big ones at a cinema, and an unlimited credit card. Yeah.
Have whatever you want.
This is from, I believe, Sir John Hall. Mm. Mike Ashley is a major player in the sporting world, and I am convinced he is the right person to take my place and take the club forward. I'm sure he will be good for the club and its loyal fans, and indeed for the region. I wish him the very best and hope he enjoys it as much as I have. He has my full backing. And Freddie Shepherd said, I will not stand in the way of a Jordi Abramovich who wants to pour millions into the club.
Well, it's interesting you make that, or you remind us of the Abramovich comparison.
I've been Googling today. Every day I'm Googling.
Well, Jordi Abramovich sounds like an oligarch, but with like spelling with a J. Yeah. It's a Jordi Abramovich.
Oh, hello, Google search tools. Time wanted to search from. Well, 23rd of May 2007, please.
It is remarkable to think that he was thought of as that once upon a time. Mike Ashley, of course. We've seen over the years, clubs have been better run than others, of course. Fans protesting at owners unhappy with the way things are. But it's been a long old slog for Newcastle United. It really, really has. And they're still in that slog, as Peter's attitude will testify to. But this is a team who were not that long ago challenging for the Premier League title. They were in, or the Premiership title as it was. They were playing in the Champions League as well. And the sugar daddy owner or billionaire sort of coming into a football club is a little bit more commonplace now. Whereas Chelsea and Manchester City have benefited with winning trophies, it's not been the same for Newcastle United.
No, it hasn't.
Do you still not want to be here?
I can confirm that. Mm. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird that coming into a club like Newcastle United, they get a lot of people through the gate.
Yeah.
They were well respected. They were respected in the 90s for playing some beautiful football, very attacking football.
Yeah. Even the early noughties.
And they were a global...
They're a big deal.
They were a big deal. They were not a global brand, but they were making moves, I think. Yeah. And to build upon that would have been a smart move for any investor. What's actually happened is we've got a man, Newcastle United have a man, who wants to run everything on fumes.
Yes.
Yeah. Although, I mean, didn't he spend a lot of his own money clearing debt?
He loaned money to the club to clear debt. That's the difference. Yeah. And a lot of the money... And
but with
a lot
no
of money
interest,
just,
right? No,
well, the interest of putting Sports Direct all over a stadium he now wants.
Now suddenly Pete's interested.
Yeah, I'm detecting some cynicism about this. It's what is effectively a profile of the man who came along and saved your club.
Good point, isn't it?
They could die young, don't they?
Yeah? You want to get them out of the way first, just to get into the meat of the actual story?
Marcus, what's been going on at the Sports Direct at St James's Park?
Oh, it's still there. Yeah. It's still very much there. Yeah, Ashley, he took over the club on the 23rd of May 2007, and he surprised a few people by doing that. He paid around $134 million for the club, but you have to say the club were in financial struggles at the time.
Yeah.
And there was an element, as that quote about the Jordi Abramovich, quite wonderful.
That was from Freddie Shepherd. The first one was either from Sir John Hall or Douglas Hall, because didn't he pass it on to his son before that? Yeah, so it could have been Douglas Hall.
It should have been a Cockney,
Roman
Abramovich.
It's a great quote.
I mean, Freddie Shepherd nowadays is sort of saying that he wished it had never been sold, or he was saying that anyway. Yeah. He wished it had never been sold to Mike Ashley, but he wasn't saying that at the time.
Well, this is the point. That it was so long ago that you can forget that when Ashley came in, Newcastle were in a bit of financial struggle, despite having played in the Champions League not that long before. And I think one of the problems was that I think that they'd always set themselves up as a Champions League club, but they didn't get it regularly enough, so the money wasn't coming in. Anyway,
they didn't do a Leeds. That's the main thing.
I
think Freddie Shepherd was actually quite ill, wasn't he, around the time of the sale? And he said afterwards that had he been in better shape, he'd have put up more of a fight, but you know, he just had other priorities.
True, but initially, he was very popular among the fans. He was seen in the local bars and pubs, on the booze with them all.
But it was so cynical, wasn't it? It was proper, like, man of the people bullshit.
He was a power drinker from very early on.
If I'm going to give him any credit during this profile, he's very much a working class man done good. I mean, the state of him, for crying out loud.
Puking in fireplaces,
eating in curry houses. This man is not, you know, going to be going to see Donald Trump at a fucking meeting anytime soon.
I'm not questioning his, you know, his working class authenticity, if anyone sort of values that sort of thing. I just mean the sort of the PR nature of it. The fact Geordie's like drinking, I'm going to do it really publicly, then they'll love me.
But they did, but a lot of fans did. I mean, I take the point, Jim, but a lot of the fans liked the fact that he was in his toon shirt.
Getting his belly out with the other bloke with a big belly.
And also, there was that occasion when Newcastle played Sunderland at Sunderland, and he couldn't wear his Newcastle strip in the corporate box. Yeah. So we went in the away end with the away fans.
He's making all the right moves at this point.
People liked him. And I think that is the point I'm making here, that the initial stages of Mike Ashley, it looked like a match made in heaven. There he was with his millions or billions. He was in the with the fans, with the shirt on and so on. It wouldn't last, though.
No.
It wouldn't last. But he made a very popular decision on the 16th of January.
I remember this so well.
Kevin Keegan returned to Newcastle United. I mean, I couldn't believe my luck.
It was one of those days that you remember forever as a football fan. Do you know what I mean? It's up there with your club winning something. It's one of those days where everyone is united by how insane something
is. He replaced Sam Allardyce. Sam Allardyce, not that long ago, was England manager.
So was Keegan.
That's true. That's very true. But Allardyce hadn't been cutting the mustard. I mean, in between those two, Nigel Pearson was caretaker manager. When I was researching this, I mean, Mike Ashley's Newcastle United, it's an absolute who's who of ramble tropes.
Like a best of. That should have been a sign of things to come for Pearson.
Oh, but it was incredible when Keegan returned. How did it make you feel, Peter? The second coming?
Well, I didn't ring Luke at 1 o'clock in the morning like I did when Shearer took over.
Yeah.
But,
no, it was actually 4 o'clock in the morning.
Was it 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. We'll come on to that in a bit.
Yeah.
But I was interested. I mean, after Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, Keegan returning to Newcastle.
Keegan go back to Newcastle. That's a bit of a dream.
It was bloody wonderful.
It was, but Keegan had been out of the game for a long time. Wasn't he running a soccer circus prior to that?
That's right,
and then obviously after that.
No, it was a soccer school, Jim.
Right.
It just looked like a soccer circus.
Other managers that were consistently linked with the job when Keegan took over in January 2008, wasn't it?
Mm.
Were Gerard Houllier and Didier Deschamps.
So were you behind it though? Did you think that it was going to be the third coming of Keegan?
No.
But it was, Do you know what it was? And it was similar to the Alan Shearer thing. I don't want to speak on behalf of Newcastle fans because I'm not one.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember at the time and thinking about it now as well. It was one of these things. It's a spectre at the feast. Lots of clubs have these individuals that are around
Dalglish
about
at Liverpool.
Exactly. And it was the same with Shearer at Newcastle. Looking back on it now, you'd probably be forgiven for thinking it's good they got that out of the way because it never would have gone away. Keegan had done what he had done as a player and as a manager. They came very close to winning the Premier League. It was always talked about as coming back. And the fact that they were able to get him back and get that out of the way, fair enough, it ended up with a lawsuit. In which Keegan was awarded substantial damages.
Keegan
won.
Know
that at the time. Yeah.
Keegan won a court case.
Yeah.
That's what a shambles this was.
And I
could beat him in court.
On the court steps with his foot in a bucket going, I won. I do. Yes, I do. Don't ask
me.
Well,
he asked for 26 million and got 2 million. So he sort of won.
Yeah.
But then it's happened with Alan Shearer. When they're in real trouble, fair play to Alan Shearer for going out there and answering the call. I mean, he didn't have to do that. He could have just chipped off from the sidelines. I mean, he won one game in eight. They were relegated. It happens. But he was stepped up there and he did it. And now that's out of the way. They haven't got to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
They've got loads of other stuff to worry about.
Along with club legend Ian Dowie.
And after those managers, they then could look forward to the good times, of course. But I think what was interesting about Keegan going back there is that the way Ashley did things, he tried to get clearly with wearing the Newcastle shirt, drinking with the fans, he tried to get a good vibe back at the club, and getting Keegan back was a part of that.
I mean, fundamentally, he was a spending manager, Keegan. He liked to spend money. Yeah. He liked exciting football, and that comes at a hefty, hefty price.
Michael Owen joined the club sort of around that time, I think. He was top scorer for two seasons running.
But, Pete, that's why Keegan essentially left the club, because they brought in a player, Dennis Wise, I think it was, brought in a player that Keegan didn't want, hadn't seen.
The huge buster.
Nacho Gonzalez.
Gonzalez, yeah. He's now playing in, he's playing for Montevideo Wanderers now.
Nice.
I checked. So that's what happened though, wasn't it? Because Dennis Wise was in there doing his business and Keegan essentially sued him for constructive dismissal, didn't he?
Yeah. I think Keegan was surprised at how, Mike Ashley, with having the director of football and Dennis Wise, he wanted to modernise the club a little bit, possibly. Mm. And Keegan was... He wanted to do an Arsene Wenger, and he wanted to manage all parts of it. He wanted to be involved.
He's an old school
English manager. He was expected to be consulted on signings. That's not how modern football works. But if Dennis Wise is telling you who you should sign and who you shouldn't sign, and Joe Kinnear latterly, you're going to be like, well, fuck this parade.
Yeah,
fuck it.
Yeah. And Dennis Wise did say something I found hilarious reading back, which was they signed Gonzalez over Keegan's head. And it later came out that it was as a favour to South American agents who promised Dennis Wise, in quotes, first refusal on all the best South American players. It's like, are you some sort of fucking idiot? Look at some magic beans as well.
Absolutely. Was it not like three very short YouTube clips that I think he saw of him? And Keegan was just like, what the hell is this all about?
But I mean, as well, like if you are that sort of old-fashioned manager who wants to control every aspect of the club, and you're being told that you can't do that because modern football is different and, you know, people are qualified in different ways, and as you say, it's then an ex-footballer doing that. It's just not joined up, is it? There's no consistency immediately.
From Kevin Keegan's position, it's like, I gave this club the best Premier League moments, you know, that fans will remember. You know, I almost created a bedrock that we expect more from Newcastle United, and now you're chinning me off with Dennis freaking Wise. Like,
Like Keegan's a bit unlucky. You know? but that's the thing with Ashley bringing in Dennis Wise and all these sort of people, the Cockney Mafia. He just clearly didn't know what he was doing. Mm. And as you say, Jim, there was no joined up thinking. Before we move on to one Joe Kinnear, we have to mention that Newcastle went to Arsenal in August 2008. And this is when Ashley was seen drinking a pint in the away end.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Downing a pint.
I should say.
Made sure the cameras caught him downing it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Power drinking.
Yeah, this was shown live on TV. He got in trouble, though, due to Premier League licensing laws, which say alcohol can't be consumed in sight of the pitch. And Newcastle released a statement saying it was non-alcoholic beer, even though Arsenal said, we don't sell non-alcoholic beer.
And as if Mike Ashley's ever had a non-alcoholic beer in his entire life anyway.
He didn't know it existed. Yeah. He did not know it existed.
He poured the top 10% of the pint out. That's the alcohol.
He got his lighter out and burnt it off. Flambé the pint.
But after all the Dennis Wise business and so on, Keegan then resigned. He walked away from the club. And that was the signal that it was a bit of a shower of what's it, which was going on. The fans then started to turn against Ashley and the Cockney Mafia out and all that kind of stuff. And Ashley, soon after Keegan left, Mike Ashley put the club up for sale, releasing a statement saying, I have listened to you. You want me out. That is what I am trying to do. That was on the 14th of September, 2008.
The problem with Mike Ashley saying anything...
He's listened, he's heard you.
Yeah.
He's heard you, and he pretends to put the club up for sale. Like, it's just always this kind of like smoke and mirrors bullshit from that man. And that's what has been, that grinds everyone's gears. That's what makes everyone just exhausted by the whole affair. It's just all bullshit.
True.
He's lost. From that point on, I think you can tell, apart from Graham Carr's acquisitions and fine acquisitions at the start of that situation.
He's gone now, hasn't he?
He's gone now, yeah. But he would, Mike Ashley just couldn't be asked.
There's a bit of credit, because that was obviously a bit of turmoil at the club. So to steady the ship, he brought in Joe Kinnear as interim manager.
Do you remember, again, that was another day.
Sorry, I was being serious for a moment. Yeah, I didn't realise...
The roles have been reversed.
Yeah. Wow. That will not be allowed.
No. Why am I hosting this one?
Pete, I saw a quote from Dennis Wise when I was researching this show earlier, saying, and the headline was, Dennis Wise, Ashley is prepared to spend in January. This is no word of a lie. I'll talk about the search tools and Google and stuff. I realised that I hadn't done the search tools at this point. And that quote was from the 18th of January 2018.
Yeah, he's still on the PR roll for Mike Ashley.
Is it because he spent some time with Ant and Dec in the jungle?
Well, there was talk that the reason that Mike Ashley even knows Joe Kinnear is because they basically had ended up as drinking buddies. He's like, yeah. Joe seems a good chap. He can steer the ship for a while.
Yeah, is it fair to say Joe Kinnear made an explosive start to life at Newcastle?
Yeah.
That press conference, he swore, I think 52 times was the stat. He swore 52 times in that press conference.
It's incredible. The audio of that exists, isn't it? It's well worth you can listen to it.
I'm not sure if he swore 52 times or he said the C word 52 times and there were other swear words
as
well.
His first words in the press conference were, "Who's Simon Bird? You're a cunt." "Noel Hickman? You're fucking out of order."
He's out of order.
And the only reason for it was because the papers had mistakenly reported that they hadn't turned up because they hate Joe Kinnear when Joe Kinnear had actually given them a day off.
Yeah.
And that's enough to get him going. Mad.
By the end of his tenure, he was only talking to Breitbart. He wouldn't talk to any of the big boys.
But Kinnear was such a relic as well, wasn't he? Like, even more so than Keegan. We couldn't believe our luck.
It was stunning.
Where's that come from?
It was incredible when Joe Kinnear turned up at Newcastle United. And he didn't disappoint, did he?
But I think it's hard to get an example of what that would be like for younger listeners who perhaps don't know who Joe Kinnear even really is from his time. Like,
how do you go about explaining him?
I'm trying to think what a Joe Kinnear character is in like 2018.
I don't know if there even really is one. Because he's a sort of Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
But he's like very much so, actually. He's like a proper old school British football man. Like, you know, you hear now about British managers not getting a chance. That's what they were like. And that's why they don't get chances now. There isn't room. There isn't a comparable figure.
Yeah. We should say that he later stood down as manager after needing to undergo a heart bypass operation. But before that, he did manage to call Charles Nzogbia Charles Insomnia, which made Nzogbia say he wouldn't play for Newcastle while Kinnear was still manager.
Yeah.
Well, Nzogbia's a bit of a tit as well.
Yeah, he's a big time Charlie.
Massive now.
He is.
Big time Charles.
Well, absolutely.
He also got Yonko by Yom Kebab.
That was later on, wasn't it? That was when he came back as director of football and did that TalkSport interview.
Yeah, that was his later work. But he was clearly reading off a sheet. Yeah. Well, obviously, at the back, we've got Shola Amamobi.
Yeah. And the best one was when he called Derek Lambie as Derek Lambeezy.
Yeah.
Where did he got that from?
And one thing, and I'm sure possibly we'll come on to this, is his second stint. Yeah. But he also said, I think in that interview, for no reason, he said, "I've won every award there is in football as a player."
Mm.
It's like, hey, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
No, you haven't. You won World Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Remember he claimed he knew everyone.
Yeah.
Again, this was the director.
I can pick up the phone to anyone. Well, they're publicly listed companies, so yeah, you can.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, we'll talk about Chris Hughton and Newcastle United and a hell of a lot more after this.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Yeah.
break.
I better go to the cash point and get some money if I've got any money left.
Chris, welcome back, everybody. I was just going to launch
Chris,
in there.
Chris Hughton
took
Chris
temporary.
Hughton, this team is a mess.
He took charge of Newcastle when Kinnear had to leave. And then, this was at Newcastle, were in the Premier League. They were struggling. Chris Hughton took over just for a brief period. And on the 1st of April, I mean, it's just Mike Ashley's Newcastle United, ladies and gentlemen. On 2009, 1st of April, with Newcastle in a relegation scrap, they appointed Alan Shearer as manager until the end of the season, and they obviously got relegated, which was a shame because it would have been quite something had Alan Shearer have saved them, but obviously he didn't. Yeah. But again, even if he had a done...
Mark Viduka, Marcus. Mark Viduka.
He didn't pull his weight, did he?
His considerable weight.
If Alan Shearer had kept him up in 2009, would he still be manager now?
No,
well, I don't know. Well, he fancied the job in the championship. He didn't ring. But Mike Ashley did not ring him back.
Yeah. Well, they went down, and Chris Hughton, poor old Chris Hughton. I mean, he really he worked hard in the backroom staff. He stepped up when he needed to.
He reinstalled a modicum of dignity
absolutely.
To a club that was a bit of a
absolutely. Yeah,
but even the sympathetic characters in this are still sort of downtrodden.
But he remained stoic and focused. You know, dealing with so much crap. Going his way.
He should be called Saint Chris Hughton up there. He really should be. But he got them back up into the Premier League at first time of asking, which is always a big achievement.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult to do. Andy Carroll and Kevin Nolan had been banging in the goals that season and then became housemates, didn't they?
Yeah, that was funny. When they were basically, Andy Carroll was almost forced to move in with Kevin Nolan.
By a court, is that right?
But Newcastle, they got back to the Prem where they belong, and Ashley thought it was a good move to rebrand the famous and prestigious St James's Park to sportsdirect.com at St James's Park Stadium.
I've never known a director.
And then signed Sol Campbell. Cherry on top. Got Sol Campbell in.
It's only missing Sven, this.
Yeah, it really is.
I've never known a man kind of, you know, cream off the very idea of a Premier League team, but at the same time, be duty bound to try and send them down every time. It's like going, oh, this is good being the Premier League. I'll try and sell them. I'll try and make a bit of money on the billboards and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then I will send them down so I can get that thrill over again in three seasons' time.
It's like he doesn't, he's so stubborn and so sort of miserly that he doesn't want to just try and keep them in the Premier League, even though he knows that's unequivocally the best place for them to be financially, and all he cares about is making money.
It's like a captain of a ship who gets a thrill when there's a hole in the side of the boat. Yeah. Oh, we might go down, let's patch it up.
Yeah. No, let's not patch it up. Let's patch it up with something that isn't waterproof.
Like Sol Campbell.
Yeah. Put Sol Campbell in the hole.
He'd plug it up, wouldn't he? Yeah. Oh, dear. There was a few Newcastle players scored hat-tricks that season. Andy Carroll being one of them. Shola Ramiobi in a 5-1 win against Sunderland.
Aye.
And Leon Best.
Leon Best.
Leon Best.
It's just appeasing you there, Pete. Putting that in there.
Yeah, sweeten him up. And then we're back in. Chris Hughton, very popular with the fans. And you were right to say that he did have... he did provide a bit of dignity and so on back to Newcastle United. And he was popular, I think, for the neutral as well. And people realised what a good job he did there, despite the circumstances.
What he does now, everybody loves a bit of Chris, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. He was sacked.
Yeah.
And, he was out.
He was sacked when they were 10th as well. And the statement released...
It's not good enough, Luke.
Well, the statement released was something like, we need a more experienced football man to take the club that next step. P.S. I'm hiring my mate Alan Pardew.
Champions League winner Rafa Benitez would be delighted with 10th this season.
Yeah, he would.
Damn right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, big pards. Big pards. Join the club.
I mean, it was good eating for us.
Pete, if the Newcastle United, the Mike Ashley years, was the entire Renaissance movement, is it fair to say Alan Pardew was very much the Leonardo da Vinci of this story?
I would very much like to see him in a shit helicopter, yes.
I think he was...
that he'd made himself out of twigs.
I think he was more Michelangelo's David.
Yeah.
Stood there with his old boy help. But in January 2011, Liverpool paid £35 million for Andy Carroll. So Newcastle got some money in the bank. What are they going to do with it, ladies and gentlemen?
It's in there.
Another little bit of joy for Newcastle, though. In February that year, they came from 4-0 down against Arsenal to draw 4-0. I love that Arsenal are mugged off in this.
Yeah, Pete, a dig in there.
Pete, another little positive for Newcastle in this story. An actual draw. One Premier League point picked up in February of 2011.
Oh, but the late, great Cheick Tiote with a fine strike.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think he hit three goals that I can remember from that kind of distance that actually went in. One of which was pulled back for offside or infringement or something.
But, oh yeah, because Gouffran was offside. I remember.
But
that,
Tiotti would try one of those after that moment. Tiotti would try one of those every single match.
That was a lovely hit, though.
It was magnificent, yeah, wasn't it?
It was. It really.
It's just the in swinger from Barton, I think, and then it's coming off and just nobody was marking him for obvious reasons because he couldn't hit anything.
Yep.
Oh, and there it was.
One of the greatest comebacks in recent years in the Premier League.
In the Premier League, certainly. Arsenal were 4-0 up at half time.
Yeah, great.
Went to 4-1 and I just knew.
Yeah. Again, a point.
At home.
Point at home.
They released a DVD.
Yeah, of course they did.
Well, the season after, Demba Ba, Yohan Cabaye joined. Steve Harper went on loan to Brighton for a month.
Yeah.
But Newcastle, you see, people can forget this. In 2011-12, Newcastle finished fifth.
So what are you moaning about?
Yeah. that was a great time. You finished in the Europa League.
That was a great time, but it was all down to players like Yohan Cabaye.
Well, no, hang on. All down to the players, because Alan Pardew won Premier League Manager of the Season and League Managers Association Manager of the Year award.
Yeah. Don't it always seem to go?
Alan Pardew was the Manager of the Season at Newcastle United. You can't forget that. That's in the history books, that.
That's in the history
books. They were very close to Champions League qualification.
They were indeed. You've got a couple of points, haven't
you? Mm. Is it fair to say that was Pardew's peak?
Yes, very much so.
I mean, isn't it also fair to say that's one of the most successful seasons in the club's history? Like, literally.
It would be, yeah. Well, Pardew's peak
is not just the Premier League, yes, possibly. I don't know. I mean, like,
but Pete, and Pardew's peak was unquestionably sticking the nut on David Myler. that was his peak. That was the Pard's peak. And you're talking about Pard's the manager, and that was probably his peak. But Pard's the man.
Yeah.
That 2 or 3 week period where he just had a massive whirlwind fight with everyone who came near him.
Yohan Cabaye wrestling a ball boy. I remember.
Didn't he also say that they struggled to get players in because of the Olympics?
Yeah. I think PardewLies.com is still up there.
Is it?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. I mean, after Chris Hughton, as you say, bringing a bit of dignity back, then Pardew, to be fair, finishing very, very well in 2013.
With some unspeakably good footballers that were bought for unspeakably small amounts of money.
Graham
with
Cox.
Unspeakably weird promises about being a stepping stone.
Premier League, Manager of the Year. Premier League Manager of the Year. Take it up with them. Take it up with the trophies.
I will.
At least he won a trophy at his time at Newcastle United. But in June 2013, Mike Ashley, with all his wisdom, brought Joe Kinnear back to the club as director of football. Now, you would have thought he would have learned by then. But obviously, we have mentioned this before. He'd resign 8 months later. So there we are. But this was the season when Alan Pardew said to Manuel Pellegrini on the touchline, "Shut your noise, you fucking old cunt."
Yeah. And then three weeks later, headbutted Myler.
Myler. Also, it's worth noting that in that 8 months that Joe Kinnear was there as the director of football, he didn't actually sign a single player permanently.
No value in the market.
But yeah, he knew.
Well, Olympics as well.
Yeah.
Olympics. But I can't figure out this fax machine.
No value in the Olympics. The Pellegrini and the David Myler were the Mona Lisa and Last Supper of the Da Vinci Uber.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible, wasn't it? For a while, you moaned about Alan Pardew at the club. A lot of Newcastle United fans, they didn't like him, let's be honest, Peter.
Well, it's because he's Cockney, isn't it, yeah?
No, it's
because he's Cockney. Because he's from the north or the south, isn't he?
Well, it's funny because
Les Ferdinand was, because they hate him.
Hang on, no one's saying that. You've got a chance here.
No, Pete, I looked up an article written by the editor of the Newcastle fanzine when Pardew left.
Mm.
And he said, to be fair, in the article, he did say, "We love Chris Hughton, he's a Cockney. It's not about Cockney."
No, of course, it's not
about
Cockney.
He said, "There is a negative stereotype of the Cockney in the Northeast, the fast-talking, sharp-dressed, pointy-shoe-wearing bullshit merchant who hides behind a front of arrogance and bluster. Pardew, for us, was that stereotype."
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's very, very good. But the thing is, though, with Pardew, he finally left the club at the turn of the year around 2014-15, when he had about 8 years left on his contract or something like that. But the reality of the situation was, Pardew left, still got Ashley there.
Yeah.
You know, you've got rid of the molehill. You haven't got rid of the mole, though, have you?
No.
You know, and that's the thing. And obviously that is the situation.
You shouldn't make a John Carver out of a molehill.
Johnny Carver was brought in for the end of the season. And he kept them up. I mean, he was a very passionate man. He wore his heart on his sleeve, of course.
And there again, another great moment. They beat West Ham on the last day, 2-0, to keep themselves up. And Jonas Gutierrez coming back in the side after beating Cancer scored a goal that day.
Yep. And then telling Mike Ashley in non-certain terms to fuck himself.
Yeah. That must have been particularly satisfying for you.
Because he's been treated terribly. Or he had been treated terribly.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand how you can mismanage a PR kind of situation like Jonas Gutierrez. They fucked him up.
Oh my goodness.
He's literally got fucking cancer.
Yeah.
And they managed to fuck that up. Yep. It's just bizarre.
It's pretty schoolboy stuff.
And then at the end of that season, that was when Mike Ashley was saying that he's willing to sell the club if they finish in the top four or win a trophy. And you think to yourself, well, you've just survived. You're not putting your money in your pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you're not putting your hand in your pocket, as we were talking about earlier. What are you hoping
also,
for?
Yeah, what's the motivation for him there? Like, it seems spiteful, doesn't it?
It was so strange. So we thought, well, we need to finish in the top four or win a trophy. So we brought in Steve McLaren. And that didn't last very long either.
It's almost like it's not the manager's problem. Yeah. Like, there's been so... We've tried every different type of manager now.
What's the common denominator here?
Well, McLaren...
Fans to fans.
Fans.
It's all the fans' fault. McLaren didn't last very long. Newcastle were on their way to getting relegated. They got in Rafa Benitez, who's obviously still there, at the time of recording.
Isn't that inexplicable, really?
Yeah.
The more I think about it, the weirder it's gotten in my head.
But bearing in mind,
why would Rafa take on that
his
project?
His previous job was at the Real Madrid.
And it's not only that, Pete. That's weird enough. But then... him being persuaded somehow by Mike Ashley to stay in the club.
I think it was the fans.
It was the fans that did it.
The fans dug Ashley out of a hole there massively. Yeah.
But if he's been told that he, like, if he's got any sniff that he's not going to be supported enough to remain in the Premier League and before that to get into the Premier League, why would you take a project like that? I just don't understand.
Because I think it's a stepping stone
for him as well, with respect to Newcastle.
Well, I think with Benitez, that he has been slagged off a lot where he's gone. You know, he did pretty well at Chelsea, considering the circumstances, but slagged off there. Real Madrid, again, some of them are a little bit annoyed at him and so on. He goes to Newcastle. The fans are basically begging him to stay and giving him a lot of love and whatnot. And he does live in England, and I think he wanted to put more roots down here. And he thinks, you know what, these are good people. This is the crazy thing for the Newcastle United fans. Not only have they had to suffer Ashley for so long, they then essentially dig him out of a hole because they persuaded Rafa Benitez to stay. I'm pretty sure in my head that that's was the case. So in a sense, doing Ashley a favour because Benitez brings them straight back up again at the time of asking, which is a very hard thing to do in the Championship. They win the league, and so they're more viable for a sale. The fans are sort of helping Ashley out in a sense, and yet they're getting completely screwed over.
I mean, there has been enough takeovers in the Premier League to make me think, well, what is it really just like, you know, 100 million worth of debt? Is that the only thing that, because Mike Ashley's expecting to get that money back? I don't understand. If someone could get that club right, they'd have, but
we've seen not that long ago, we said at the start of this, challenging for the title in the Champions League. I mean, we've all seen, obviously, depending on how old some of our listeners are, but a lot of people will remember watching Newcastle play Inter, Juventus, Barcelona.
Yeah. And now we're how many days until 48 hours until the close of the transfer window?
It's all Wednesday, yeah.
And at time of recording, we've signed a Chelsea loanee. And that's our only acquisition for a club that is knocking on the door of relegation. Mm. It's insane.
It's a very difficult situation because we'll obviously bring it right up to date now. It's a really difficult situation because we don't see the balance sheet. We don't see how much exactly the sponsorships are worth, the players are worth, the value of the players' contracts, all that kind of stuff. And Mike Ashley, whether anyone likes it or not, he's the owner of that club and is entitled to hold out for what he wants to hold out. But what he has to understand is, if they find themselves in the Championship next season, it's not going to be worth 350. It's not even going to be worth 250, which is, I understand, it is the deal that's been offered. So what game are you playing
exactly
here? What is your end game? The ways out here are you massively gamble and Newcastle manage to stay in the Premier League. Well, you've still not solved the problem. There's still an offer on the table to sell it. You're either going to get the amount or not. You sell it now, but are they going to want to buy it for that amount given they can't sign any players, or you get relegated? So make your decision.
Well, his
make
game,
any decision.
We heard what his game is in the summer of 2017 when he appeared in court, when we heard stories of him vomiting in a fireplace. And the immortal line from the man himself, and this is his game: I like to get drunk. I am a power drinker. My thing is not to drink regularly. It is to binge drink. I am trying to get drunk.
See, the thing that I find really funny about that is that's not even mildly strange to hear someone who drinks talk about that sort of thing.
No,
it's unusual from a billionaire. It's unusual chat.
In the call
from that kind of guy.
You don't expect it.
No,
it is incredible.
We had a story from somebody who had sort of worked with him or sort of certainly been in his proximity, and a helicopter was waiting, and the man had to finish his was it like a pie, shepherd's pie. Mike Ashley was not going to get on the helicopter until he finished his pie.
That's all right.
Which I quite like.
There you go. You're the king, you can do what you want.
You don't want to get meat or pastry in the helicopter. Well, Newcastle, they are currently plying their trade in the Premier League, which is where they belong. A club like that belong in the top flight. But how long will it last, for crying out loud? It won't take much for their Premier League survival to be in doubt once again. And if they do go down, as we just discussed, it's unlikely Ashley will be willing to sell. So Premier League survival is obviously a must if he is to part ways with the club. When he does eventually part ways with the club, and he will, there'll be binge drinking in the bars and pubs of Newcastle, and my goodness,
fireplaces will overflow.
And we'll be there with them.
Absolutely right. So there we are. Mike Ashley's Newcastle United. Apologies to Newcastle United fans, but there we are.
Hopefully, heart wants what it wants.
Indeed. Hopefully, though, one day soon, it won't be Mike Ashley's Newcastle United. So there
indeed.
We are. Thank you very much to Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you to Luke.
I'm trying to get drunk.
Thank you to Peter.
I'm also trying to get drunk.
Oh, dear. And bless you all, Newcastle United fans.
Tune.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.